Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Woo! Oh boy, that will wake up your commute this morning. And yes, welcome back to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. It is a pleasure to have you with us, and hopefully me with you on your commute or morning or Pilates or treadmill or wherever you listen or totally focused with absolute focus in front of your computer or whatever device you have. But either way, thank you for tuning in this week. And we had an incredible Pesach at Olami 613 and really, really very, very, very special. Okay, we already had one podcast post-Pesach, and now we are moving along. We have a very busy, awesome summer scheduled at Olami 613. So please be involved. Find those young professionals who are moving to Chicago. Connect them to us. Olami613.org. Olami, O-L-A-M-I, 613.org. Okay, and contact us through there. Alrighty, folks. It's that time of year. It is coming up this week on the NFL draft. Yes. All of you football fans have been in hibernation since the Super Bowl. It's hard for me to say this, the Seattle's. I was about to say Supersonics. The Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl sometime in February. And football fans kind of go into a bit of a hibernation. The only thing that percolates them is from the end of the Super Bowl till this week, which is the NFL draft. Now, I often like to ask my students, my young professionals, how many human hours go into discussing the NFL draft. So there are millions of sports, American football sports fans in America, and a growing amount around the world. Now, if we would add up all the hours of people deciding, rooting for which player they want their team to take, or players. And they're going through like third grade PE, grades, and they're vetting to the nth degree. They want to know if they ever got in trouble in fifth grade recess. They're checking every type of drug use. They're checking attitude. They're going not only for physical aptitude, they're going for chemistry. Is this going to be a good fit? With the coaches, with the players, is this player coachable? What are his midos, his character traits? And before we begin the main analogy of the football, of end zones of eternity, I often tell my young professionals, how in the world can you date without approaching it like an NFL franchise? If these people are spending millions and millions of dollars on this contract they're going to sign these guys for, and they're not going to just say, oh, I like that guy. He looks good in some of those games, and he's good tape, and let's sign the dotted line. Let's give this guy, $50 million starting contract, with options, for bonuses, etc. They're not going to do that. They're going to vet every single little thing. And that is what most secular dating does not do. They sign the $50 million contract. They meet each other at a bar. They get intimate almost immediately, or some level of it. And then they wake up realizing that what they thought for about 37 seconds was a first-round draft pick ends up being a 10th-round draft pick, or a first-round draft pick for a different team that would fit their culture and etc. So I always, always use that analogy for my young professionals. When you are dating, you need to vet. And that is why, all right, let's, you know, let the hair down over here, folks. Let's get this exciting Monday motivation on a Monday. This is one of the major reasons why, I mean, aside from the fact that it's forbidden in the Torah, but why Judaism, the Torah, says that premarital sex is forbidden. It is forbidden. Now, it's forbidden because marriage is holy and it should be, sex and sexuality should be focused exclusively on one's exclusive partner for life, marriage partner. And that's what makes the holiness of it, the Super Bowl of intimacy. That is, you can't have the Super Bowl every day, you know, with 10 different teams. No, it's one time a year and it's focused. That's what makes it special. So too, the special nature of human intimacy. You can't just throw that out there on the first date or the first month. Okay? And so therefore, in addition to the fact that it's forbidden, the reason emotionally why it is not a good idea to hop in the sack before marriage is because it clouds vision. Are we actually deciding on the person and their merits, or are they friends with benefits and those benefits outshine the actual deficiencies in the person and in the relationship? And the longer it goes on, the more of a sunk cost there is for all that time. And I can't break up now. I've already spent 2 years in this. And before we know it, we end up being dragged into marriage. And that is why so many divorces happen within the first 5 years, is because they reversed engineered it. They went into it incorrectly. They backed into marriage. And that is, I guess, one first analogy. I wasn't exactly planning on going there, but okay, that is one certain amazing analogy that I use all the time with football and how to date. Now, let's get to end zones of eternity. Football, it dawned on me, is literally the perfect analogy for how the Torah views life. Okay, and I'll start with where I usually start with, and then we're going to build from there. So according to our sources, mainly the Derech Hashem, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, who lived in the 1700s in Italy, and then eventually in Israel. And he wrote a book called Derech Hashem, The Way of God. And it is basically the Prego spaghetti sauce book of Jewish philosophy. It's in there. Anyone remember the Prego spaghetti sauce commercial? Let me know. It's in there. What about the tomatoes? They're in there. The spices, it's in there. So it's in there. Everything is in there in Jewish thought and philosophy, in headlines, I would say, and much of it in detail. And he describes how initially the world was going to be 6 days, and the seventh day, the Sabbath day, was going to be the final redemption. And the world was going to be brought to its completion. However, there was a problem. Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden fruit, and therefore they brought death into the world. They brought death into the world because in the original state, Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, were going to be able to bring the world to its completion through their own actions and deeds. But once they ate, they fell to a very low state, and therefore the only way the world reality could be brought to its full completion was through the death process of this world and then the final purification in the next world. Okay, there's more details to that, but that was the basic outcome, one of the major outcomes of the sin. And so each of these 6 days becomes 1,000 years. And so we are basically now, the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish calendar, is 5, 7, 8, 6. Now, if you divide 6,000 years into 5, 7, 8, 6, you get about 96.4, which means that there's going to be, we're really 96.4% done with history as we know it. The 7,000th year is going to be the Messianic era, and that it is a totally different reality from what we have. It is going to be that all the non-Jews are going to say, hey, we're so sorry for beating you up for the last thousands of years, and we're going to help you learn Torah, and we're going to help you do mitzvos. And God is going to reveal himself on a much higher level, and a lot of our free will be taken away. All of the people, to quote all the anti-Semites, will, to quote another old commercial, will be doing, oh, I wish I had a V8. Right, I could have had a V8. They'll be hitting their heads saying, wow, why was I so anti-Semitic? I didn't realize that they really are God's people, and I should have been nice to them. And so that is, but we have 6,000 years where God is still hidden, and we have a choice, and the non-Jews have a choice. So how does this work? We have 6,000 years. So we are basically on the 3.5-yard line of history. We have done 96.4%, which is basically 96.5%, which is really on the 3.5-yard line of history. And so what happens when an offense is on the 3.5-yard line? What actually happens then? It means that there's something called goal line defense. The forces of evil, both internally, the Yetzirah, our evil inclinations, and the forces of evil externally, are doing everything that they possibly can to derail the juggernaut offense called the Jewish people. Now, the Jewish people are the spiritual quarterbacks of history. You've heard me say that many times. Why? It means because we are the stewards of history. We can't do it alone. Our job is to elevate the moral level of all of humanity. And people always say, oh, the Jewish people better, this and that. The Jewish people have a specific role. And our role is to be the spiritual quarterbacks. We're the ones calling at least executing the plays. And we are the one who is driving the team down the field of history. Now, what is anti-Semitism? Anti-Semitism is the recognition that we're the quarterback. We are that quarterback. And all of the forces of evil right now in the world are focused on us and only on us. And everyone is lamenting that. And I'm not loving what's happening right now with the anti-Semitism. But let's look at the silver lining over here. Everyone recognizes that we're the one. Okay, who else gets as much press? Why don't they talk about Indonesia as much? Why don't they talk about Australia? I don't know, pick a country. Greenland, oh, they do talk a little bit because of Trump. Okay, I don't know, talk about Zimbabwe. Talk about somewhere else. No, it's only the Jews and Israel. Why? Because they know that we are the spiritual quarterbacks of history. We are the barometer. We are the example to be set, and everyone is trying to gun for us, because if the forces of evil say to themselves, if we can sack that quarterback and malign him and make him seem evil, then it will exempt us from living up to the spiritual demands what he represents. We represent godliness, the Ten Commandments, don't murder, don't steal, don't sleep with your neighbor's wife or husband, you know, basic good stuff like that. And the forces of evil in the world cannot stand that. And so therefore, anti-Semitism is the world coming to sack the quarterback. Now, sometimes the quarterback gets sacked, but other times we are the ones that throw the 80-yard touchdown pass. That is our legacy and our mission in this world, that we are not afraid of the anti-Semitism, because we know that our mission is excruciatingly important. Now, let's continue the analogy. The head coach who's guiding the quarterback and the team to do the right plays, how to implement it correctly, those are the rabbis. The quarterback doesn't just go out there and do whatever he wants. Well, some do, and they're usually not so successful, but they consult with the coach, and the coach has wisdom beyond what the quarterback can see. He puts it all together, and he is the one, and that's exactly a perfect relationship, what a rabbi is. And a rabbi, for us, as someone who exemplifies those values, those spiritual values that we, the spiritual quarterbacks, are trying to implement. And I started to take this analogy even further, that there's a commissioner to the league. Now, this is where it breaks down a little bit. The commissioner of the league doesn't necessarily have the right to determine what the laws or the rules are of the NFL, and the NFL rules change often in various ways. Each year, the rules committee comes out. But there is this concept of the you know, commissioner of the NFL. And that, in this analogy, would be the Almighty. Now, our Almighty is not just the commissioner of one sports league. He's the commissioner of the entire world. But he is the overseer. And he is the one who wants this team to be successful. Okay? And so this analogy can go on and on and on. And so the next part of the analogy is, where do we fit in this amazing team? We are on this Jewish team. We are that quarterback, and every one of us has a different role. Some people's role is to sit and learn Torah all day, and that's great. And some people learn some Torah and do acts of kindness. And some people, everyone has to learn some Torah. Everyone, every Jew has to learn Torah, a little bit of Torah every day. Every Jew needs to learn a little bit of Torah every day. And some people's job is to learn a little Torah and give a, make a lot of money and give a lot of money. And everyone is going to find, God willing, their place, their role on the team. And I feel that this is just the perfect analogy as we're going into the NFL draft of being able to explain why the non-Jews are so fired up against us. And here is now our question, and then we're going to finish with a pretty cool story. The question is, how is the Jewish team doing? You know, the more and more I see, if I see one more Jewish senator say that they're pro-Israel and vote against arms to Israel, I'm pro-Israel. I'm holding back, essential military aid from Israel because I don't like the politicians who are running the current war. Hello? You've drifted off the team. You're pro-Israel? And these young people today who are buying all of this garbage about Israel being an apartheid state, are you kidding me? Leading the rally call against Israel? It's because those team members, sadly, have left our team. They've left our team through no fault of their own. And this is why we are on the gridiron fighting for each and every Jewish player at Olami 613. This is our mission. But it's getting dangerous now because, honestly, the players that are leaving the Jewish team are starting in a very vitriolic and vehement way to fight for the other team. So I want to finish with a story. Now, there's a really special, amazing person, and his name is Saul Werdiger, and he's the chairman of Agudath Israel. Now, Agudath Israel is an amazing organization that is a Torah Jewish observant advocacy group, and it has a political wing to it. It does other services, and it's really very special. He's the chairman, and he has really one of the best speakers I've ever heard in my life, and he has a great story. Now, what does Saul Werdiger do? He has a company called Outerwear, and he provides the, he has the license agreement for the jerseys for MLB, NFL, NHL, and NBA, among others, right? So you can imagine. So he gets invited, and he goes to all of the various events, and he always tells about different stories of the Super Bowl. So I want to tell you one of the stories that I heard from him about the Super Bowl, one of the Super Bowls that he attends. Now, whenever he goes to the Super Bowl, he gets a huge suite, and he has family and friends and all kosher food. He is guaranteed that he will be a place where he'll have all kosher food. And so what happened? Roger Goodell introduced, he is the commissioner of NFL, introduced this young couple to, newly married to Saul Werdiger. And they said, Saul, you know, this young couple heard that maybe you have some kosher food, and they wanted to know if, you know, whatever, they can have some. And Saul invites them in, and, you know, the NFL commissioner's making this introduction, and they're like, yes, come, eat, enjoy. And the young couple stayed, and they enjoyed the game, and they had kosher food, and Saul didn't really think much of the story after that. Okay, he was just doing what he would normally do, called Hachnasat Orchim. He's, you know, welcoming in guests. This time it just happened to be at the Super Bowl in a huge luxury box. Fast forward a few years later. He is on some vacation, he said. He went to Manhattan for a weekend with his wife and the Shabbos, just the two of them. And he walks into this beautiful new shul at synagogue. And he wanted to lay very low. He is a public figure. Everyone knows him in the Orthodox world. He wants to lay very low. The rabbi opens up his sermon and he says, I would like to acknowledge the presence of Mr. Saul Werdiger, who is here for Shabbos. And Saul, he's like sinking in his seat, like, what did I do today? I just wanted a quiet Shabbos. So the rabbi continues and he says, we all owe Mr. Werdiger a tremendous debt of gratitude for our synagogue. And he had no idea what was going on. So here's what happens. Here's what happened. That young couple had just gotten married, and they were extremely successful and became even more extremely successful. They had both decided that they were going to start their marriage keeping kosher. And they were 3 weeks into their marriage, and they were about to break it at their own luxury box when they heard about Saul's kosher catering at the Super Bowl. And they went and they asked, and they said at that moment, they said, if Saul Werdiger can have kosher food at the Super Bowl, we are not going to break keeping kosher, and we're going to go and take on Shabbos. And this couple was inspired, and not only that, they literally paid for the entire like $10 million redo of renovation of this old synagogue to make it beautiful and new and fantastic. And so there's so many parts about that story that are so awesome, but it just shows, first of all, the love of Jew to Jew. Any Jew, we're all brothers and sisters. It's amazing. Sure, come into my luxury box, have my kosher food. But it's also the fact that the impact that this could have, that Saul stuck to his guns. He stuck to his guns of who he is, no matter where he is. He is someone who lives and embodies this spiritual excellence, the spiritual quarterback of who we should be. That is what this story represents, is that he didn't give in at any point in his business career, and he kept keeping kosher, and it inspired this young couple not only to keep kosher, but to continue on strongly in their Jewish journey and eventually rebuild this amazing synagogue. So folks, we really are on the 3.5-yard line of history. And there's one thing that we cannot do on the 3.5-yard line, and that is to fumble. We cannot fumble. Sadly, there are many who are, but we have to be motivated. We listen to this podcast. We've got to be among those who are going to hold tight to this precious ball of Torah, this precious ball of meaning and purpose and excellence of behavior and elevating who we are and everyone around us. And God willing, we all together will do the greatest celebration in the world when we cross that goal line to the end zone of eternity. God bless. Have an amazing week. Good luck with the draft for your team. And God willing, we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.